Blog Talk Radio.
Hold on a second.
Let me let this file finish up.
Let me go out here. All right, I'm going to continue. I want to welcome everybody out this evening to Spiritual Wellness. I am Brother Miles, and the site that we have been using, they are still experiencing problems. I don't know exactly, you know, it says that their certificate is expired, so it won't let you connect to their site. And so we will be doing something else on this evening. I uploaded a video. I'm waiting for it to finish uploading, a video that we're going to watch online. You should be able to hear it across the phone line. You won't be able to see the video, but you'll be able to hear the text. And what this is, it's a Gentile called Richard Nolan. He's a white guy. And he's going through and explaining who the true Israelites are. Now, he says that it's us, but I just want you to hear his rationale. And, you know, he's explained this to his congregation. And his congregation is, you know, it's a white congregation. So I want you to just, you know, hear his rationale. This video is converting right now. And so as soon as it finishes converting, you know, then I will share it when we start. Let me do this. I'm going to come into the room a different way so that I can see everything that I need to see. We pray everybody has had a blessed day and that you have either gotten a prescribed rest or you spent some time with the Most High. I was tired from the farmers markets that I've been going to. And then, you know, I have a lot of work to do. Because we're getting increased orders, and my growth cycle has been somewhat broken by a bad crop, and by overseeding, it caused the seeds to not germinate, and so that threw me off in the growth. And, you know, trying to catch up, get a crop in. Right now I think I have a salad mix that is growing, but you know, everything else, there's nothing else. And so there is a market tomorrow. I'm thinking about actually skipping the market tomorrow. I'll know later on, you know, what I feel like doing, whether I feel like taking what I have. And, you know, again, passing out samples or whether I'm going to send out an email to the people who are on my email list and tell them that I'm not going to have a crop for 2 weeks. I'm not sure which one I'm going to do. I don't really want to do that because when you get people used to coming and they get used to something, then when you change it up, you can lose them. So let me do this. Come with me here a second. It is... as this video finishes uploading, let me come in this way. I believe I've not been into this site on this computer. Okay, 1 second. Computer. So I'm waiting for the other one to finish uploading. Say, you know, welcome to everybody. Am I getting an echo? All right, testing 1, 2, 3. Can I be heard? Test, test, test.
Hear you.
Okay,
yes,
okay.
Yes, I can hear you.
Well, I'm just seeing that I'm not going to get an echo. And I am now.
I am now.
So let me stop the this mic. Okay. All right. one, two, three, you'll still be able to hear me. Let's go ahead and do our statement of faith. Don't mind my video. All right, let me have the ladies to cover their heads. Men, uncover your head as we go before the Most High. I believe that all scriptures given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, O Yah Elohim. Thank you, Father. We just glorify you on today, Father. We thank you for this Shabbat that you have ordained that we should keep, Father. And we glorify you in it, and we magnify your name, Father. We bow down before thee, and we extol thee and adore thee, O Yah Elohim. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Yah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Yah. Thank you. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. Our scripture reading for tonight comes from the Songs of Solomon. And it is Solomon chapter 1, verse 5. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Solomon. May the Most High a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right, this video is still converting. And so are there any, let's do this way on this evening for a minute. Are there any questions from this morning's lesson? And I'll open up your mics who are on the phone.
No, Brother Miles, but it was a very good lesson.
All right, amen. To Yah be the glory. So everybody's understanding the concept in Job. If that's the case, that's good. If we just don't have questions because we don't want to ask, we've asked for something, don't be pleased. This Hebrew site, Black History in the Bible, I really want to contact the owner, and every time I'm going to get their contact information to see if they need any help as far as, you know, technical help or what have you. I can't believe that they do, I know that they receive a lot of money in support of their site, so I can't believe that they would need technical help. So I have to believe that they are under attack in some type of way. I went to see if they were blacklisted, because you can blacklist the domain, and then they just will not issue a certificate, so then it can't, you know, be seen. But it says that their domain is not blacklisted. So I pray that the brother in that organization is okay, because it's a wealth of information on their site. And, you know, I really wanted to download it all because of the wealth of information. But I don't just want to be stealing it.
Okay.
So... I want to contact them and ask if it's okay with them if I download all the stuff. So when they're down, you know, maybe I can provide an alternative site. I don't know if I want to get into all that, but maybe I can provide an alternative site that if they're down, then people can go there because of the amount of information that they have. And it's probably, you know, a lot of data. And I'd have to see if I have the – I know I have on one of my servers the capacity to hold it. It's like the Hebrew Connect site. I was talking to the owner of that. And basically what he was saying is that, you know, the amount of data that he has, yeah, there's no way that I would ever be able to hold all that, you know, here locally. I'm not even going to get into the sizes because if you don't, you know, if you don't understand what a gigabyte, not a gigabyte, but a Google byte or a petabyte, if you don't understand how much that is, then it's not going to be significant to you. Nevertheless, we want to greet those, everybody in Blog Talk and Pal Talk on the Internet in general. Wherever you may be, we greet you in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. All right, and the purpose for this particular day, as far as spiritual wellness, and we've been doing Black History now over a year, and I really wanted to, you know, really complete this site. But it looks like it is going to be a problem. So let me see if I can get this one video up and working from this room and see if, because I don't want to tax the server too much, because usually when it's converting, it's using almost 100% of its resources. Let me actually check that and see what's going on with it. So we got people called in and plus it's converting files. It should be, oh, it just finished. As soon as I checked, it finished. Okay. All right, so I'm going to back out of this second login that I have on here and go into where my big screens are at. And so we're going to go ahead and proceed. I'm going to upload a video, turn up the volume on my mic so that those that are on the phone or calling into the 480 number that they are able to hear at least the sound from this video. And let's see. Should be the true Hebrews. Okay. Now, as I said, the reason that we're doing this is not—it's not a matter of race, but it's a matter of knowing who we are as a people and what the world knows about us that was hidden from us as a people that is not taught in that is not taught in this country. And didn't seem like it uploaded. Or okay, let me close this. Try it again. Okay. All right. You guys able to see that on your end in the room? Okay. Now, this man's name is Richard Nolan. And as we can see, he is actually a Gentile. Also, there's a rabbi out of Israel. He's actually from New York, but he moved to Israel, and he's been trying to convince. He's an Ashkenazi Jew. I think I was going to download some of his videos and some of his interactions that he has. But he, you know, he's trying to bring everybody that who claims to be an Israelite, a Hebrew Israelite. He's trying to, you know, bring them all together into one group. You know, a lot of brothers come against him because he is Ashkenazi. But I have to give it to him that, you know, he is trying to unite people, and anybody who claims to be a Jew or a Israelite together as a people and united, you know, under one banner. I don't think he's going to make a lot of headway with a lot of blacks, but the fact that he, you know, acknowledges that, you know, Negroes in America are the true Hebrew Israelites, and he also acknowledges that even in their old writings, the writings of the rabbis, their old ones, I forget what they call those writings. There's the Torah, I think it's the Mishnah, the writings of the rabbis, that they say that the original tribes were a people of color. And since that's written in their writings, you know, how they don't accept it today is a matter of because they don't want to lose power. And they know that if that's the case, and then we're claiming to be those people, then truthfully speaking, by the laws of the land, then they would have to give us the priesthood and they would have to give us the rulership in Israel. And so a lot of them don't want to acknowledge that. Nevertheless, you know, Yah himself will come back and straighten it out. You know, we are, if brothers say that they're being told to go back to Israel and that's what they do, then you go back because they are not treating them like Hebrews. They won't give them citizenship, make them stay in the worst of places. They are not, and then they, because they're trying to get along, then they are not doing what the scriptures demand of us if we are in our own land to clean up the land. They have no power in that land. But, you know, if they say the Most High tells them to go back, then I don't fight with them about that stuff. Let them go back and do, you know, and go through whatever they need to go through. That's where Yah wants them. I know that the scriptures tell us that we will not be gathered until Messiah returns. And so, you know, even on the Hebrew Connect site, you know, there's a lot of people, you know, with the doctrine of we need to be leaving here. And I'm like, where are you going? Can't just go into anybody else's country because you still have no power. And so unless the Most High gathers us, we're not, if we try to go anywhere else, we're not going to have any power. And we are in a nation right now that we can worship the Most High however we see fit. And I say we worship him the way he says that he wants to be worshiped. And if we don't do it, it's because we don't want to do it. Now that's where I stand on that, because there's nothing preventing us from doing it but ourselves. So we're going to look at this video, and I want you to take note. I don't agree 100% with all his premises. You know, nevertheless, it's what he's learned. Some of the premises that he has, I know that there's other scriptures that say something else. So, you know, we, as I said with us, we what, chew the meat and spit out the bones, no matter in what. So let's take a listen, and I'm going to start this, and I'm going to do a sound check, and then you let me know if you are able to hear this.
92% of the people that say that they're...
Okay, so sound check. Were you guys able to hear that?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And let me check the 480 number. Sister Peaches, were you able to hear that? Sister LaGracia?
LaGracia?
Okay, I don't know what's going on there. So were you able to hear that?
Yeah.
All right, amen. Okay, so let's go ahead and proceed and listen to this.
They are Jews today, are in fact Ashkenazi, sons of Gomer, so thereby are the synagogue of Satan, to trap the regal Negro house of Judah.
Hold on a minute. I'm going to restart this. So we can just hear it from the beginning. Uninterrupted.
The 92% of the people that say that they are Jews today are in fact Ashkenazi, sons of Gomer, so thereby are the synagogue of Satan, they who say they are Jews and are not. So who are the real Jews? That's the question that has been posed to me many times over the past month. And there's really two answers to that question. And I'm going to be thorough today because I need to be thorough. Because when you speak about this, it's going to upset a lot of people. So we're going to have to take our time in the scripture. So bear with me. Two answers to that question. One, I already addressed in the rotting stick of false restoration and the synagogue of Satan teaching. And that is, who are the true Jews? Well, I already spoke about that earlier. Even the Ethiopian Jews, they're called the Falashars, meaning those that are black. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 10. From beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshippers, the daughters, my dispersed ones. That's the Queen of Sheba and her sons migrated and dispersed to Ethiopia. Lamentations chapter 4, verse 2. The precious sons of Zion are comparable to fine gold. Verse 8. Their visage is blacker than coal. And the concise Oxford English Dictionary, the 10th edition, tells us that visage is a poetic literary of a person's face with reference to the form of their features. A person's facial expression is what? Blacker than coal. You start to connect the language and you start to see. Bereshit, Genesis chapter 9, verse 27. We have got the Ashkenazi sons of Japheth that have infiltrated into the land and are what? They've got the whole world convinced. The whole world convinced that they are sons of Shem. But look what it says in Bereshit chapter 9, verse 27. It actually tells you that Yahweh, who is omnipotent, it is his will because he has actually deceived them into doing this. They are so deceived into doing this. Look at Genesis 9, 27. Elohim will entice and deceive. The Hebrew word there is patah. Patah. He will deceive Japheth. Ashkenaz, the sons of Japheth, and he will dwell, that means Ashkenaz will dwell in the tent of the Shemites. Is that what's happening today? Has he deceived the Ashkenazi so much, those from the Russian steppes, the Caucasians, he's deceived them so much that they're actually dwelling in the place where the real Shemites should dwell? Genesis 9, verse 27. You see, Yahweh is the one that has deceived. He has enticed Japheth. Patah, deceived, enticed. He's deceived and enticed the Ashkenazi Jews into believing that they're the Jews, and they built the Zionist state of Israel today. Hold of the riddle, did she not deceitfully? And Delilah made Shimshon Samson sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Samson was the first rasta. He was a Negro lion fighter, similar to the African Maasai tribe, Judges 14:5 and 16:19. You see, Samson tore a lion apart as he would a young goat. And as a Nazarite, he wore seven dreadlocks. He was mahogany in body color, just like Malcolm X, darker than coal. He was a Negro, Lamentations 4, 7, and 8. And this is really hard for people to see in Scripture, because predominantly it has been the Caucasians that have been in charge of the Scriptures, right? For millennia, Lamentations 5, 10, our skin was black like an oven. Job 30, verse 30. My skin is black upon me and my bones are burned with heat. Deuteronomy 26, 28, me. Deuteronomy 28, verse 68. And Yahweh shall bring you into Mitzrayim, Egypt again with ships. And the way of which I said to you, you shall see it no more again. And there you shall be sold to your enemies for slaves and female slaves, and no man shall buy you. And that is what happened to the regal class of the house of Judah. And I want to give you a brief history. I won't go into it too much, but I can't just make that statement because there'll be people that will push back. But I want to give you a brief history on slavery. I was just amazed, I got to tell you. I mean, when you come to America and you talk to people about slavery, you can talk to black people about slavery, white people about slavery, and they'll give you all this history on slavery, and it only goes back to the 16th and the 17th century. And you're like, don't they teach you the history of slavery? Why? Ask the bloody question. Why are they only teaching you the history of slavery as far back as the 16th and the 17th century? Why are they only going that far back? They don't want you to go farther back than that, because then you'll actually find out the truth. But from the 16th and 17th century, we'll teach you about slavery. You've got to go further back, and you've got to understand and question, why do they do this throughout the whole of America, in all the public schools? Why do they only go back as far as the 16th and 17th century to talk about slavery? We've got to go further back than that. Because Islam designed infernal slavery. And then the Ashkenazi Khazars, those who say they are Jews and are not, are the ones that marketed it. And the regal Negro nomads exiled from the kingdom of Judah were the main recipients of it at the hands of the indigenous black Africans. Because you've got to understand, the regal class of the house of Judah came down from Israel and they came into the land of the black Africans. And the black Africans resented the regal class of the house of Judah in their land, because they had laws, they had customs, they had civility, and they were a regal class of Negro that came down into Africa. And later on, it was the Ashkenazi, the Islamic slave traders as well, that then worked together with the indigenous black Africans to enslave the regal house of Judah. This is what we've got to understand, but you've got to go back before the 16th century to understand the roots of it. So we're going to see, as we dig into this, where this slavery came from, because it was really a system that was very, very well crafted. There was Islamic masters, and there were white Ashkenazi Khazar ship owners. There were the buyers and the sellers. And they're not going to fill you in on all of this, but really you've got a four-tier system. Number one, you have the Negro nomads that were exiled from the kingdom of Judah. Number two, you had indigenous black African hunters that resented the regal Negro nomads that had come into their territory with their own customs, with their own laws that were different and would not assimilate into their tribal culture. They were their own tribe. They were the regal house of Judah. Number three, you had Islamic trappers that worked with the indigenous black Africans to trap the regal Negro house of Judah. And then you had them sell them to the Ashkenazi ship merchants. It's enough to go further back. Do you know how many blacks in America have been lost to Islam? It's outrageous. That's not your tribe. Your tribe is Judah. Muhammad's tribe enslaved you. Why would you convert to Muhammad's tribe when you're of King David's tribe? Don't convert to the tribe that enslaved you and then sold you to Ashkenazi. Ship merchant. More black Negroes have been lost to Islam in the 20th century than any other believing, Bible-believing group. It's outrageous because they don't want you to know who you really are and what tribe you're from, but you're not from Muhammad's tribe. Never were. Never were. You are a regal Negro class from the royal house of Judah. It's outrageous to me. Islam is not the black man's religion. It's for those of the Banu Hashim clan of the Quraysh tribe. That's who it's for. It's not from the tribe of Judah. Never was, never will be. It was never the religion of the Negro nomads in Africa. Because they were exiled from the kingdom of Judah. In Joel chapter 3, verse 6, it talks about these indigenous black Africans in collusion with the Ashkenazi because they were selling the Negro house of Judah to the Greeks. And who did the Greeks? The Greeks, they invented democracy, didn't they? Didn't they, Charles? You see, Africans weren't selling their own people. They were selling a tribe that had encroached upon their land, a higher educated, regal class that had judges, coppersmiths, goldsmiths, and all of this, and they did not assimilate in, and they wanted their stuff, and they wanted to get paid by Islam, and Islam wanted to get paid by the Ashkenazi ship merchants. The Igbo tribe of Africa, they're Jewish. If you were to look, I mean, if you were to look at old maps of the African slaving maps. There's an old map of, I think it's Guinea in maybe 1720s, 1730s. There's this old map, and it's called a slave coast map. Look on that. It's the slave coast map of Guinea, 1736. And you look on the West Africa map of 1747, and it says right on the West Africa map of 1747, Kingdom of Judah. Right there on the map. On the 1747 slave coast map, Desert of Death. Well, who was Death? He was Adam and Eve's son after the death of who? Desert of Death, right there on an African slaving map. Luke chapter 3, verse 38, we're talking about the genealogy of Yahusha from the tribe of Judah. Verse 38, the son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of Elohim. But by 1771, the same map, the very same map, even with the same cartographer that did the map of 1747, all of a sudden, by 1771, oh, they got wise to it. And there is no Kingdom of Judah no more on that map. Disappeared. Same cartographer. Oh, somebody got to him, right? Why would the same cartographer remove the Kingdom of Judah from the 1777 map, 1771 map, that was in the 1747 map? Why would he do that? You see, you've got to go further back, because the more we go along this timeline, in this day that we have, people don't understand what has gone on in the past. And we are making the very same mistake as we come to this apocalyptic time of days that we're living in. We're enslaved. But all of those areas around what we call today the Slavic region, they were, of course, enslaved by Islam. What's the number one slaving country today? What's the number one country that America is economically, politically in bed with? The number one slaving country in the world today, Saudi Arabia. Our whole currency is connected to a slaving country that enslaves women, children, and men from all over the world, and they say nothing. And they're funding our politicians. Funding our politicians. And you don't think this message is relevant? Because people are just, oh, well, it's you know, safe and secure. Meanwhile, we're all going down the street to destruction. Do you really think they care what color your skin is? They just want to enslave you all. But they don't want you to really tell the black Negro in America what tribe he's from and who truly enslaved.
All right. I'm going to stop this right here. And I wanted to address one area. Because everything that he says there is true, and then, but not the whole story. We've read from documents that we've read in the past. By the time that all of the tribes migrated into that area, remember Israel was kicked out of. Can anybody tell me what year Israel was kicked out of Israel when Jerusalem was sacked? Anybody tell me? Can I be heard?
Well, I don't know.
It can be heard, not. I don't know either. Was it around the year when Jeremiah was prophesying?
I don't know. What year was that?
I don't know.
Okay. No, it was 70 A.D. 70 A.D. Okay. So about 30, 40 years after Messiah left the earth. Remember he told them that the temple, would not one stone would be left upon another?
Right.
Okay, that happened in 70 A.D. The Romans came in and they sacked Jerusalem. And then they started, they didn't actually run everybody out of the country then. There was some rebellion, I think it's about 130-something A.D. And then from that point on, there were no Jews or you know, people identifying as Jews staying in Israel because the Romans were coming in and they were killing everybody. So everybody left, okay, and some traveled along the northern coast of Africa. Some went down the east coast of Africa into the interior, followed the Nile River into the interior of Africa. At the same time that this is going on, Islam comes into power, okay, and Christianity. And the battle between Christianity and Islam, between the Roman Catholic Church and Islam, that battle was taking place, and either you were being converted to quote-unquote Christianity or you were being converted to Islam. A lot of our people converted, Hebrew Israelites, converted to Islam in the early days of Islam because they were... Islam was not like Judaism, and what I'm going to call Judaism, for lack of a better word, the way. It was not like the religion of the Bible. And Christianity under Catholicism was not like the religion of the Bible. So let's just start with Islam, and I'll explain these things, and then so you'll see the difference. We know about Muhammad, and Muhammad supposedly had a vision, and he was given, told by an angel to write this, well, was dictated to an angel, dictated by an angel to have these books written. Muhammad himself couldn't read or write. And they were forcibly, if you were not Islamic, then you were considered to be not a heretic, but a, I want to say, what's the word that they use? An infidel. Okay, you were considered to be an infidel. If you were Christian, or if you were of our religion, the way, called the way, then you were considered to be an infidel. And Islam forcibly gave you a choice. If they conquered your land, you could either convert to Islam or you could die. That was the only choice you had. There was no other choice. So a lot of the people converted. A lot of our people converted to Islam. Then you have Christianity up under Catholicism. And we've heard of the what? The Holy Wars? Where the Roman Catholic Church went around the world converting people, quote-unquote, to Christianity or to Catholicism, forcing them to convert, you know, and they're missionaries, forcing people to convert. Neither one of those religions are the true religion of the Most High, even though Catholicism says they believe in Messiah, in Christ. The way that you become a Christian is not the way that is done in Catholicism. They force you, okay? And that's not the way to become, okay? And so the world had two choices. Either you convert to Islam or you convert to Catholicism, really, okay? And both of them, if you refused to, they were killing you. The Most High said that the way in was to believe in Messiah and then stop what? Sinning. Repent. Took it up because the Romans realized that this religion, what I'm going to call Christianity, being messianic, believing in Messiah, this religion was so strong with people that they were willing to die for it. So they said, hey, we can use that. And that's how the Catholic Church was born. And as the Catholic Church is a melding of the church and the state. In the U.S., you got the separation of church and state. In Catholicism marries the church and the state. And that's what the office of the Pope is. The Pope is really the old Roman Caesar with a religious title. Okay, and they, because every land that they conquered, the people had different beliefs. So rather than killing them off, like Islam did, and they did a lot too, they said, you can bring some of your beliefs into our religion, into our church. Okay, so these are the two powers that you have in the world at that time. The church, the body of Messiah, was taken over by the Gentiles at this time. Now, we have the New Testament, and we have, you know, the apostles and the disciples of Messiah in their writings. And we, you know, we have to give credit where credit is due. The church preserved those writings. Now, a lot of the things I say, you know, because a lot of people feel like the Bible's been tampered with. But I say, if you really knew what the Bible was saying, there's no way that you would leave in there, number one, that the true Hebrews were black. You wouldn't leave those type of scriptures in there. Number two, you wouldn't leave in there that the heathen and the Edomites are going to end up being slaves in the end. You would not leave that in there if they really had a true understanding of the writing. So if I'm white and I'm reading the Bible and I see that it says that I'm going to end up being the slave of the Hebrew Israelites, the slave of the people of the Most High, if I take them as a slave, I'm going to end up being a slave. And I'm translating, and if I'm gonna mess with it, I would surely leave that out. Okay, I would leave that out. So I know that, you know, a lot of people try to use this excuse, that, you know, the Bible's been tampered with. They try to use the excuse that the Bible is white man's attempt to enslave us. That's what they use, to enslave us. But the truth of the matter is, the Bible is our book, and it was written in such a way, that's what I said, without the Holy Spirit, without the Ruach HaKodesh, you cannot come to true understanding in the Scriptures. Even reading it in black and white, even reading it, having it translated to another language, the Most High is able to protect His Word. But we want to, you know, we're looking for excuses not to follow Him. And so as a society of people who have lost their identity, then, and we're not allowed to read, then the Catholic Church, you know, even today, doesn't like for their listeners to read their own Bible. They want them to listen to, you know, the priests, the fathers in the parishes. They call them fathers in the parishes, the cardinals. They want them to listen to what they tell them. They don't want them reading their own Bible. And most of them do not know that the Ten Commandments in their Bible is not the same as the Ten Commandments like in the King James Version. So we got to understand that these are the forces that have been at play. And they cause the people, you know, as he said, you do have to go back past the 1700s. And we've been into, you know, in the text, in the writings on the website, we've been into the BC, you know, before Christ. Or we've been in the Common Era. And we've been reading, you know, things about Dahomey and looking at the map of our people in East and Western Africa. I'm going to load another file here. But the maps that he talked about, we had looked at them. We looked at one of them before. I went and got both of them. So I'm going to upload it real quick. Because of the map, it won't take, you know, but a hot second to do this. So that you can see what he was talking about on these maps. And I went and, you know, checked it out. I had seen it before, but I didn't have the years. And he did say the years of these maps. And so I went and found them. Last week, I went and found them. So let me get this and upload them, and so you can see it as well. And, you know, he has a, you know, it is very evident that, where are my glasses at? It's very evident that, you know, this is how they, what they do, okay? Let's see. So let me upload this one first. So let me just upload all these. Okay. That didn't convert correctly. That one didn't convert correctly. Let me see how I can convert these, because these have to be in a certain format. Just a second. I should have checked that before. I'll convert. We're not doing that. Hold on a minute. Let me see if I have a program to open these up and convert them. Or maybe I'll have to share my screen again. Yeah, I just do that. I'll open it up on my computer because it's already converted on my computer, but it won't upload to the website. So bear with me a hot second. Anybody have any comments or questions on what he said?
No, I don't.
Okay. All right, so, yeah, I'm going to share my screen. Anyone else? All right, screen sharing should be up. Go ahead and pull it, pull up the screen share. And let me know if you're looking at a map. Okay.
I'm looking at a map.
Yeah.
Okay, let me enlarge this map. And we've already looked at this one before. So I'm just going to show you, I think this is the one we looked at before. Okay, so we see on this map, we see at the top Negro land,
mm-hmm.
what they have identified as Negro land. Okay, and if you look at over in this, the other, under the D in Negro land, can anybody mm-hmm. read what that says?
Kamala.
Yeah, and desert of what? Set. Okay. And so so this is what he was telling you about on that map. You can see that, and you can also see on some other maps they have like the Tower of Babel down in the same area. Okay. Not up north where you might think. So this is the desert of Set, the son of Adam.
Right.
Okay, when we come down, okay, over here we have Guinea, proper Guinea, and in between the, or where the R is at for Guinea, for R for proper, do you see where it says Kingdom of Judah or Weda?
Yeah.
Okay, look above we. Right, look above that, and you'll see it'll actually, that's actually Kingdom of what?
Judah.
Okay, on the west coast of Africa.
Yeah.
Okay, now this map is like from 1722, if I'm not mistaken, okay? So we have the Kingdom of Judah identified on the west coast. This is also where they came to get the slaves. The only place that they were allowed to take the slaves from. Now, a lot of our people, and I'm not saying that some Hamites, the African, the original Africans in these nations, didn't sell us, capture us and sell us as well, but it's a proven fact that a lot of our people who moved to this area over time, because from 70 AD to about 1600 or 1500, how many years was that?
That's a long time.
It's over 1,000 years. Okay, they forgot who they were. They had assimilated into the local population. Were we known for mixing with the people?
No.
Yes, we were. We always mixed. When the Most High said, don't mix. That's one of the biggest things we did was mix. And so when they got down here, a lot of them had already converted to Islam. A lot of them had not. A lot of them had been killed off. A lot of them had been assimilated into the local population and become as the Gentiles, followed their customs. Is that not what the Northern Kingdom did?
Yeah.
They wanted to worship like they wanted to worship the Most High like the people who were in the land. Rather than conquering them, they worshiped and start serving their God, you know, Molech Astatar and I can't remember the name of these other gods, but you know, we get Easter from these gods, we get, you know, the Lord, the title, the Lord from these gods, that was the name of a Canaanite god, Baal. They worship these gods, okay? And then God said, okay, because you've done this thing, you've committed fornication and spiritual adultery against me, then I'm casting you out of the land. So we have the northern kingdom taken away first into Assyria. Now we're looking at the southern kingdom, and a lot of the tribes from the northern kingdom, they had representation in Judah. And so when Messiah comes into the world, he said he had to go to the lost sheep of the house of what?
Israel.
Okay. So let's go into our Bibles real quick while this is hot on our minds. Open up your Bible, and can you see my Bible on the screen?
Okay. I still see the map.
Okay, I'm going to stop sharing and reshare because I changed programs. It's not picking it up. So I'm going to stop sharing. I'm going to start sharing again. And when you are able, you should be able to see the Bible on your screen.
Yes.
Okay. That Bible, let me go to the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, chapter 30. No, I don't want to go to Chronicles. I want to go to John. John chapter 4. The book of John, chapter 4. Now, this is when Messiah is in, he's in Galilee. They departed from, they left Judea and departed again to Galilee. And verse 4, what does verse 4 say? John chapter 4 and verse 4. He has to go through Samaria. Now, did he tell his disciples not to go into Samaria?
Yeah.
Okay, he told them not to, but he sent 70 others ahead of him, and they came into Samaria. But he now needs to go through what? Samaria. Now, why would you think he would need to go through Samaria?
Because the 70 that he sent prophesied about him coming to Samaria?
No, they didn't prophesy about him coming. They actually had to go wherever he was going to go.
Okay.
So they had to go ahead of him.
Okay, but, I was trying to be clever.
All right, no, don't try to be clever now. We don't want to do that. Let's just be straight, okay?
Okay.
All right, so hold on a minute. I don't like to say stuff and people don't really know where it's coming from.
I'm sorry, brother.
No worry, my sister. No worries. Let's see.
Sister Lorraine and Sister Denise understand me.
Yes.
What? That you're trying to be clever? They understand that?
I guess.
Okay.
All right, we're going to come back to John chapter 4. We're going to go to Luke chapter 10, okay? Luke chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 1, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And Sister Mary, since you were trying to be clever, I'm going to let you read that.
Put it in my mouth all the time. After these things, I appeared appointed.
Yeah.
Other 70 also, and sent them two by two, two and two, before him, before his face, into each city and place whether he himself would come.
Okay, read that again and read what's actually there.
After those things, Yah, Elohim, appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before him, before his face, into each city
Does that say each city?
He himself will come.
To every city.
Into every city, not each city.
Every city and place. Whether he himself will come.
Okay, so he sent them out 70, two by two, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Before his face into every city and place, whether he himself would come. Wherever he was going to go, he sent these people, what, ahead of him.
Right.
Now, this is how the woman of Samaria knows about Messiah. Okay, because these men have come before them. And Messiah tells them, another time when I show you that, he tells his disciples, when he, in John chapter 4, he tells his disciples, you're going to reap where you have not labored. They're not going to testify to these people. There's already been there people there before them who have done the what, legwork?
Mm.
And when they come back, they're only going to reap the harvest, okay? So understand, this is where, let's go back to John chapter 4. And he must need Samaria because he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. They were in Samaria. So let's go to keep your, you know, mark that. Let's go to 2 Chronicles. Because I don't want, you know, I don't ever want anybody to say that I'm saying stuff that is not in the scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. All right, Sister Lorraine, if you will start reading in verse 1, and I will tell you when to stop.
And Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, and wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of the Lord of Jerusalem to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel.
So stop. Hezekiah is invited. He's now, what we want to read is, and we want to take it in, and I want you to take note of how it's written. He sent letter, Hezekiah sent to all Israel and Judah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that Israel don't exist at the time? They have already been taken captive. And to Judah, and he wrote letters also to Ephraim and Manasseh, that they should come to the house of Yah, where? At where?
Jerusalem.
Now, the northern kingdom didn't go to Jerusalem to keep the Passover. Why? Because Jeroboam, the first king of the northern kingdom, was afraid that if he allowed the people to go to Jerusalem,
and they wouldn't come back.
They wouldn't come back. To keep the Passover unto Yah, Elohim of Israel. Continue in verse 2.
For the king had taken counsel, and his princes, and all the congregation in Jerusalem, to keep the Passover in the second month.
Stop. Why in the second month? When is the Passover?
The first month.
The first month.
And so what is the Passover in the second month?
The second Passover.
What? How does it describe
it's
as?
Makeup Passover.
It's a makeup Passover. And it was created by the Most High for men who were unclean during the first Passover. So they had touched a dead body or something, and they were not clean. And if they were not clean, they were not allowed to take part of the Passover. So he created a second Passover in the second month, the same time of the month, the 14th day of the second month, for them to have a makeup Passover. So Why is Hezekiah inviting these people to the second Passover? Because Hezekiah themselves haven't kept the first Passover. Okay? So he's inviting all Israel, and we're going to find out who all Israel is. He's inviting them to the second Passover. These details are critical because it lets us know what's actually what going on.
Right.
Okay. Verse 3, Sister Lorraine.
For they could not keep it at that time because the priests had not sanctified themselves to sufficiently, neither had the people gathered themselves together to Jerusalem.
So stop. The priests had not sanctified themselves. They weren't clean. And neither did the people do what? Gather themselves to Jerusalem? Aren't the people who are around Jerusalem and all Hebrews required to attend the Passover? Yes. That's one of the three feast days in the Bible that all Hebrews, all Hebrew males are what, supposed to keep? But they hadn't been coming. They hadn't been keeping it. Okay. Continue. Verse.
Things pleased the king and all the congregation. So they established a decree to make proclamation throughout all Israel, from Beersheba even to Dan, that they should come to keep the Passover unto the Lord God of Israel at Jerusalem. For they had not done it of a long time in such sort as it was written.
So stop there. That verse is simply said, they had not what done it.
They hadn't kept the Passover.
For a long time. So the northern kingdom has been, now we're going to read that the northern kingdom, who he's talking about as Israel, because a lot of people want to make everybody that was taken away out of Israel from the northern kingdom, they want to make them what, Israel? Okay. But I'm going to show you who Israel is. And who Messiah went to, okay? Verse 6.
So the post went with a letter from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, and according to the commandments of the king, saying, ye children of Israel, turn again unto the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you.
Stop there. He will return to who?
The remnant.
The remnant of you, start with that. Go ahead and continue, Sister Lorraine.
All right. That are escaped out of the hand of the kings of Assyria.
So stop. That is Israel. The remnant that escaped out of the hands of the kings of Assyria. This is who he's writing to, okay? So let me read that again. So the post went with the letters from the king and his princes throughout all Israel and Judah, according to the commandments of the king, saying, you children of Israel, turn again unto Yah Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and he will return to the remnant of you, the remainder of you, that are escaped out of the hands of the kings of Assyria. The rest of them had been taken off beyond the river Euphrates, okay? But there were some people who what? Escaped?
Mm-hmm.
That's who he considered to be Israel, okay? Verse 7.
And be not ye like your fathers, and like your brethren, which trespass against the Lord God of their fathers. You therefore gave them up to desolation as ye see.
Stop there. Be not like your fathers or like your brethren, which trespassed Yah Elohim of their fathers, who therefore gave them up to what?
Desolation.
What does that mean?
Absent of the country.
That's right. They're absent. They're not in the land anymore. The land is absent of them. Okay. That's what this word desolation means. He turned them over to desolation. He removed them from the land. As you what? See. Verse 8.
Now be you not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourself unto the Lord and enter into his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may be turned away from you.
So turn back and serve the Most High, right?
Right.
Verse 9.
For if you turn again unto the Lord, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that lead them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. For the Lord your God is gracious and merciful and will not turn away his face from you if you return unto him.
Stop there. For if you turn again, unto Yah, your brethren and your children shall find compassion before them that led them captive, so that they shall come again into this land. That they may come again into this land. Okay. Verse 10.
So the post passed from day, the pass from city to city to the country Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun, but they laughed them to scorn and mocked them.
So stop. If you turn back, return to the Most High, he will return your brethren where? Back to the land?
Mm-hmm.
But they laughed them to what?
Scorn.
We ain't doing that. They caused their own brothers not to be what? Returned, to be stay cut off? And so they never came back into the land. Not even until the day Messiah came. They never returned. They were cut off. They were Hebrews, but they were not what? Israelites. Because Israelite is a what? Nationality?
Right.
And when the Most High makes you desolate, he means that you no longer exist in the land. It's not your land anymore. I had you carried away. But if your brothers will repent and return back to me, I'll bring you back into the land. But those same brethren that he wanted to bring them back into the land, he wanted to return to him, they laughed them to scorn. Okay. Go ahead and read 10, 11, and 12.
Nevertheless, Diver of Asher and Manasseh and of Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. Also in Judah, the hand of God was to give them one heart to do the commandment of the king and of the princes by the word of the Lord.
Okay, and verse 13.
Yes. And there assembled at Jerusalem much people to keep the feast of unleavened bread in the second month, a very great congregation. And they arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and all the altars for incense took they away and cast them into the brook Kidron.
Continue.
Then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month, and the priests and the Levites were ashamed and sanctified themselves and brought in the burnt offering into the house of the Lord.
Okay, so different ones from Asher and Manasseh came to the what, Passover?
Mm-hmm.
And they killed the Passover they had on the 14th day. Okay, we're going to skip down. Starting verse 21.
And the children of Israel that were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with loud instruments unto the Lord. And Hezekiah spake comfortably unto all the Levites that taught the good knowledge of the Lord. And they did eat throughout the feast 7 days, offering peace offerings and making confession to the Lord God of their fathers.
And verse 23.
And the whole assembly took counsel to keep other 7 days, and they kept other 7 days with gladness.
Okay, stop there.
So Hezekiah.
You can stop there. And Sister Denise, if you'll take over from there.
For Hezekiah, king of Judah,
did give to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 77,000 sheep. And the princess gave to the congregation 1,000 bullocks and 10,000 and a great number of priests sanctify themselves.
Okay. Verse 25 through 27.
Okay. And all the congregation of Judah with the princes, priests, and the Levites, and all the congregation that came out of Israel, and the strangers that came out of the land of Israel, and that dwell in Judah rejoiced. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. There was not a light in Jerusalem.
Then the priest,
the Levite, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayers came up to His holy dwelling place, even until heaven.
Okay, so stop there and just go to Second Chronicles chapter 31. And Sister Mary, if you will start reading there. Sister Mary? Sister Mary, she must be trying to get. Yeah, we can hear you now.
Oh, okay. Now, when all this was finished, all Israel that was present went out to the city of Judah and break the image in pieces. And cut down the groves and threw down the high places of the altars out of Judah and Benjamin and Ephraim, also Manasseh, until they had utterly destroyed them all. Then all the children of Israel returned every man to his possession into his own city.
Stop there. All of Judah that was present, they helped tear down the altars and the idols,
mm-hmm.
and cut down the groves. And when all that was done, read that last sentence again, then all the children.
All the children of Israel, every man to his possession and to their own city.
So this is who is in Samaria, okay? All the children of Israel returned to their own, to his own possession in their own what?
City.
This is who Messiah is going to. This is who he considers to be Israel. Can everybody understand that?
Okay.
Okay, now let's go back to John chapter 4. Now, Samaria was, what is Samaria? Can anybody tell me? What is it actually?
Is it the capital of Jerusalem?
It's the capital, but not of Jerusalem.
Capital of
Israel?
Of Israel.
Uh-oh.
It's the capital of Israel is the northern kingdom, right?
Right.
Judah is the southern kingdom. The capital of Judah is Jerusalem. The capital of Samaria, the capital of Israel is Samaria, okay?
Oh, okay.
When the Assyrians conquered Israel, the nation, and took all these people away, and they transplanted other people in there, But some of our people escaped, right?
Yes.
And they went back into their own cities among these transplants. The Assyrians renamed that whole region Samaria. It was no longer called Israel. They changed it to the name of the capital of the capital city. So they just renamed the whole region Samaria. Okay? That's why Messiah must needs go through where?
Samaria.
Okay? That's what his name is in his days. It's not called Israel. It's called Samaria. And then, Sister Mary, if you will continue in John chapter 4, verse 5.
Then came he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph.
Okay, so stop there.
And Jacob lived.
So he comes to a city of what?
Samaria.
That's how you know that the country is now named what?
Samaria.
Because you're coming to a city of Samaria. The old capital of Israel was Samaria. The Assyrians renamed it Samaria. And now you're going into a city called Sychar in Samaria.
Sychar, I call it
Sychar. It's just as good. Okay. And this is really where Jacob dug his well at, okay? So verse 6.
Now Jacob's well was there, and Yeshua therefore, being weary with his journey, sat there on the well. And it was about 6 hours.
Okay, so stop there.
Yes.
So this is the land of what? Israel?
Yes.
This is where Jacob's well was at. And it's under control of the Romans at this time, okay? It's under the control of the Romans. Samaria. His old name was Israel. And Messiah said he must needs go through what? Samaria.
Samaria.
Because this is where the lost sheep are at. He didn't go all over the world. The remnant that survived, that escaped out of the hands of the kings of Assyria, they went back into their, what, own city?
Mm-hmm.
And those that came to, at least those that came to the Passover?
Right.
Okay, but the rest of the ones that had escaped, they never came to the Passover, but they were still in their, what, own city?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is who Messiah is going to, okay? So let's go back to this map. When Israel is conquered by the Romans, and, you know, Jerusalem, the temple at Jerusalem is tore down, and the people rebel because now the temple is gone, so they want to fight all the more, then they leave out of Israel, and they travel along the northern coast of Africa, through Morocco. A lot of them are converted, okay? A lot of them are killed. But by 1500 A.D., they all are in this general area on the west coast. Let's see if I can move this map. Oh, can you see that map again?
No, it's a black screen.
Okay, so let me pause sharing. Start it again. Okay, now can you see the map?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they are all in this general area, okay? And I'm going to shrink this map just a little bit. So all through, and I can shrink this a little bit further. Come on, Miles, get down there. Okay, it's not important that you see the names right now. I just want to use the shape of Africa. So on this map, in the top right-hand corner, that's going to be in the general area where Israel used to be at, further, a little further east than that. But they came along the northern coast of Africa, down the west coast, and they ended up in the interior below the Sahara. And in and along the west coast of Africa. And then some came down the east coast and ended up still in this general area. Does everybody understand that?
Yeah.
And it took a little over 1,000 years. In 1,000 years, can you forget who you are?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, if you start mixing with people and taking on their customs, you can forget who you are as a people. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of them did. A lot of them converted to Islam. Okay? Now, so we see, I'm a blow this map back up again. Now, what's a cartographer? Huh? Yeah, a cartographer. Cartographer. What is that?
Okay, I'm just going for the shot. Somebody that draws maps.
A map maker. Amen. I'm having a problem with my mouse. Oh, there it is. So let me blow this back up some. So on this map, we see the kingdom of Judah as we saw before, right?
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm going to bring up another map. Now, and I'm going to bring up another map, and it's drawn about 15 years later, okay? Same map maker. Let me see if I can find this. Where is that going? Oh, there it is, over here. I'm going to open this up in the same program. See if I can just drag it to that screen. See my desktop, right?
No.
You still see a map?
No.
You see a black screen?
The screen is not being shared.
No.
Okay. All right, let me share my screen again. Hopefully it's not the same map. Well, before I share my screen, let me make sure it's not the same map. Same map. Hold on. Maybe it's this one. Here. I'm going to share this map now, and you guys tell me what's missing. See the map now?
Yeah.
What's missing on this map?
Wait a minute.
Judah.
kingdom of Judah?
Yeah.
It's not there now, is it?
No.
They just call it Guinea, and you got the Gold Coast, and you got the Slave Coast, but the kingdom of Judah is missing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and then this is how we know the maps today. Then they changed the name of the countries to what? Benin and Togo and Nigeria.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, matter of fact, if we zoom in on this, do you see Benin right here next to?
Yes, I see it.
Okay. Over here to the right would be Nigeria, Togo, and stuff to the left. But they remove kingdom of
Judah.
Now, this is the same map maker. As the man said, do you think somebody got to him?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
If he said that the kingdom of Judah was there before, and a few years later, he don't identify the kingdom of Judah there, I would think somebody got to him. We don't want nobody to know who that is.
Right.
Okay. So, you know, what he says is true, and he's giving you a true history, but not all of it. It wasn't actually complete, because a lot of those people that he's calling were the indigenous people of Africa, the Hamites.
Uh-huh.
A lot of those were not Hamites. They were our own people selling us into slavery. Now, saying all of them were, but a lot of them were us, because we had forgotten who we were. By the time that we got down here and all through the streets, if we can remember from previous studies, all up here, even all up, you see where they have Negro land and all that?
Uh-huh.
And you see this river running through, that they got running through Negro land all the way over to from the east coast to the what, west coast?
Uh-huh.
That river don't exist anymore. Okay, but we moved into this area, and I don't know if it's on this map or not. Dahomey, which we read about in previous lessons, Dahomey and all those things were really, they were Jewish settlements, okay? There were different settlements along the Niger River. Where's the Niger River on here? Now, up here, we got Gahanra. Anybody see that where my mouse is at? Look above Guinea and over to the right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go home again.
All right. That also became known as Ghana.
Huh.
Down here as well. Okay. So you got to know that if people are changing the map, do you think that they have some kind of agenda?
I would think so.
And on any map in Africa that you look at, any modern app, do you ever see Negro land?
No.
Okay, you never see Negro land, but that's what it was called. And the only place that they would take slaves from, even though our people were all through this region, the only place that they would take slaves from is what we labeled and were known as what, the kingdom of what?
Judah.
Okay. So they would capture from all over these areas, and then they would bring them here. And then we also were in this area. And that's how we ended up in South America. That's how we ended up in the Americas. So, you know, Any questions on anything he said or anything that we've previously covered or these maps, comments, complaints, observations?
So the Niger River is no longer?
The Niger River does. Yeah, the Niger River still exists. I just don't see it on this map.
Oh.
This is not the Niger River. Oh, yes, it is. That is the Niger. But it don't run all the way across like they got it on here now.
Oh, okay.
But you could take the Niger River and go almost from east to what, west?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the way a lot of our people travel. Once they got, wait a minute, what is this up here? Anybody see this Borno Lake?
Borno Lake, yeah.
Look above that. What does that say?
It looks like M-I-M-A-Z-A-H.
Is that what that says?
Well, it looks like to me.
What does that look like? What does that look like to anybody else?
Where's the that? Oh, Amazon?
That's what it looks like to me.
Amazon
River.
Amazon, what is that?
It's like Amazon.
Is that A-M or I-M?
It looks like an A to me.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we can find a better map.
I think it's Amazon.
I think it do look like an A.
Because then that presents some other issues. Because where do we know the Amazon at?
Brazil.
In Brazil? Where's Brazil at? Is Brazil on the African continent?
No.
What continent is Brazil on?
South America.
So what is it? What is the Amazon doing over here?
I don't know.
I mean, I'm just saying that's what that looks like to me. I want to make sure that is, if I want to make sure that's saying Amazon. Because it may not say Amazon, but it sure looks like.
It looks like A-M-A-Z-O-N.
So if the Amazon is here.
Let me get my glass. Wait a minute, spell them out. I get my bag red. Okay, let me. Yeah, that looks like Amazon to me. A M A Z O N. That do spell Amazon on it.
Yep.
Okay, well that's what that is.
Then I wonder why they got Amazon there, and we got Amazon in what, South America?
No.
That is really weird.
It is a little odd, isn't it?
Yeah. Have to do a little bit more research on that.
I know.
Because I'm wondering, now are they saying that, I'm not sure what they're saying, what that Amazon is going toward, whether it's the lake. That says Lake Borneo. Borneo or Boro Lake?
Boro Lake. And Amazon is up at the top of that.
Yeah, I don't know if they're talking about that part of the Sahara Desert, but that is the Sahara Desert. See, up here, Zara or the desert.
Right.
Now, I wonder, this is just me. Let's pull up a map of South America. This is just for gee whiz, but I'm like,
aha moment.
Mm-hmm. gonna pull it up like this.
What is that, Ben Fowler?
All right, I'm going to drag this over. I don't know if it allowed me to drag it. Can you still, can you see the Amazon or South America there?
No.
Yeah, Amazon.
I mean, you see, I mean, do you see a green map? You see a green
good
map.
Good one for the Lorraine. Same map.
Okay. Share it again.
My goodness, it's raining so hard here.
You must be in the Amazon.
I did.
All right, do you see the
what
Amazon?
Yeah, three of them.
Rain and snow. It's snowing here.
It's still snowing?
Yep. It's about to rain.
Okay, I see Brazil.
Okay, and do you see that purple line?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like the same one and the other
one.
Okay. Now, we know that, you know that the South America and Africa used to be part of one continent?
Right.
I'm just wondering if I move that continent back, that if that Amazon there would line up with the Amazon that's in Africa.
Hmm.
Because that what they have identified as Amazon, and they call it the Nile, not the Nile, but the Niger River.
Right.
I think that it might just hook up with this Amazon from South America. But then that would beg to differ. It's supposed to have been millions of years since these two continents were connected.
Mm-hmm.
So how could they have the same name for the same river?
Hmm.
But that's just me contemplating, right? I'm going to have to play around. I'm going to have to do some work with, get a world map and cut South America out. Or Africa and move it back in place. So you can see where it came out. Let me get a world map. But I had never seen that on the map in Africa, where they're calling that Amazon. Let's see. World map. So I'm just going to pull up this one right here. No. And we all know that these maps don't represent the real size of Africa, right?
Right.
They don't want nothing black to look big.
Okay, it do look like South America because it's right up under there.
Yeah, I mean, that's where it broke off from.
Right there.
Okay, can you guys can see that map?
Yeah.
Okay. If we move South America back over to the right, it would swing right up in there in that indentation in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just wondering if we did that and we lined up the Amazon River with the Niger River, I'm wondering if they would line up. And I'm kind of thinking that they would line up. which presents, you know, that presents some other thoughts. Because how can that be? And were these continents split not as long ago as we thought? Yeah, that, or did they take something that was in Africa and rename it when they got to the Americas? I mean, that's always a possibility too. Because the names that we're looking at, do we think this is the names that the people of the land call these things?
No.
No. These are all European, what, names?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but yeah, I just find that kind of weird. And I don't think that they would line up. Because Amazon's going to fit up in here somewhere.
Right.
And the Niger's way up here. Or what they're calling the Amazon on here. So maybe it won't fit. But so we're at, what, 7? We're at almost 8 o'clock? My time? 10 o'clock, wherever you're at, or 9 o'clock?
10 o'clock.
Yeah, 10 o'clock.
So we're coming up on 2 hours. We're going to go ahead and stop it here. Hopefully this guy will get the site back up. And, you know, I'm going to try one more time to ask him, can I just download the stuff? Yeah, or if he has a backup copy, you know, for posterity's sake, because what's going to happen is, here's what's coming, and just mark this, okay? They're going to try to reinstitute Jim Crow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, and when they try to reinstitute Jim Crow, then they're going to try to relegate us back to what? Slavery?
Yeah.
And second and third class citizens. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be away from the cities. We want to be have our own communities. We want to be able to, what, protect ourselves?
Right.
And we want Yah to protect us. And so once we do that, we would never go anywhere by ourselves. We go as a group because people have a tendency to be brave when they are messed with somebody by themselves. But when you are in group, then they don't necessarily do that. And then if it's known that we will fight for ourselves, then they would have to come in mass to what, attack?
Right.
You know, but we want to make sure that we are able to protect ourselves. You know, and they might overrun us, but it, again, it's going to be because it ain't going to be because we're not protecting ourselves or that we're just laying mm-hmm. down. What we don't want to happen is another Black Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about the 8th time that they've done that. Black Wall Street mm-hmm. is not the first time that it's happened. We don't want to be that again either. And so we don't want to tell everybody what we're what doing.
Right.
We don't want to tell them that because you don't advertise what you're doing.
Right.
Okay. So all they need to know is that we are a peace-loving what society, community, mm-hmm. and we don't mess with nobody. And then if they come to mess with us, then they'll find something different. Okay? Because that's really what Trump is all about. And no matter how many charges they bring against him, he still wants to run for what? President?
President. Mm-hmm. And they're allowing it.
Yeah. And so you can't tell me that they couldn't stop that if they didn't want to.
Come on, man.
They can stop that. They don't want to, and I don't care what side you're looking at, whether it's Democratic or Republican, to divide people.
That's it. Yeah, because they're all the same, if you ask me.
Right, they are the same. They just use, you know, one will use the economy to divide people. The other one will say, okay, we're on your side, so, you know, we want to protect your rights. But then when you really come down and look at it, they really don't protect anything. And every election, what community do they always have the problem with the vote?
Black community.
In the black community. How is that? And they know ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
But it has to tell you that, you know, they are in control of it all. And they're putting into office who they want to be in office.
Who they want to be in there.
Right.
Yeah.
So understand, but that's his agenda. Don't ever forget that. He wants to take it back.
He said it on National Television.
When?
He said we need to take a country back like it used to be.
Yep. That's their agenda, and that's going to be Jacob's trouble. Because they're going to try to re-enslave us. And our young people, yeah, bless their soul, but they are just lost.
Who are they lost?
They don't have a clue.
Mm-mm.
And, right, they don't listen because what they don't understand is if you, what, how does the saying go? If you fail to remember your past or your history is bound to what, repeat itself?
Right.
Something like that. There's a saying. I'm getting too old. Saying like that. That history will repeat itself. Our young people, they're not involved with the politics. They don't keep track of what's going on. And
they don't even watch the weather.
Right. That's bad.
It is bad.
I mean, I don't watch the news all the time, but I do watch the weather.
That's just the rain here. You can't tell them that.
Yeah, well, they're going to end up back in shackles. And so, you know, we have to be aware of this, and we have to fight against it. And we have to bring as many along with us as we can. Because that's really what he's trying to do. And who wants to go back into Jim Crow or slavery?
Not me.
What was I watching? I'm trying to think what I was watching. Wow, I was watching something, and it was talking about really how it was to be black in those days. Oh, I know what it was. There was a somebody put up a video on this woman from South Africa, okay, and apartheid, and her parents were really white, but she was born black from them. She was actually born black, but her parents were white, and she was born during apartheid. So, you know, everybody thought that the mother messed around with a black man, but she's saying she didn't. Her father, the white man, didn't believe that she had. But this girl came out looking black. He said, you know, if any of you had any black genes in you, then this can happen. That gene comes back out. So this is what they said happened. And, you know, all her life she lived with that discrimination. She was in the white neighborhoods, but she was treated like she was what, black?
Black.
And when, you know, try to roll her in schools, their segregation was so total that, you know, black and white didn't go to school. And the blacks in South Africa, they had to be off the street by 8 o'clock at night. They couldn't move after 8 o'clock. And so that's some of the stuff that they used to have where here in the States. And do you know that there were still some black people in slavery in the 1970s and 80s here in the United States? In Mississippi? because a lot of those places are backwoods, and they don't really have, you know, connection with society. So this stuff was still going on in place. So we got to be, what, very careful?
Yeah.
And very alert, you know, on alert and be willing to protect each other. All right, with that being said, so if you come up with any articles or any type of stuff like that, you know, bring them to the table so we can discuss them, okay? Any of that type of news, for those of you who delve into the news, any type of political actions that seem like they're trying to move that way. Because, see, you know, I don't believe in the Republican Party. There's a lot of things I don't believe about the Democratic Party either. So we are like between a rock and a hard spot.
Yeah.
Because the Democratic Party, their values, I don't hold a lot of their values, especially when it comes to like gay marriage and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I don't hold that same value. Whereas,
ooh, that's gonna get really out of hand.
Oh yeah, everything is about being gay.
Oh,
what was it? Oh, and if you look on TV, are there any, in the commercials, are there any black couples?
No.
They're not.
There's no black couples.
Are there any white couples?
Yes.
No. Look at them. They got all mixed couples in these commercials now.
They do.
Okay.
All mixed couples. So they are trying to, you know, the Democrats are in power, and they're trying to sell a certain agenda. But then when the Republicans come back in power, all those commercials will go away. And they really want to go back toward, and a lot of our people want to go back to what, separatism? The problem is that the way this country works, they have never given to us equally as they do themselves.
Nope.
So they always used to say separate but equal.
Mm-hmm.
But it was never what?
Equal.
It was never equal. Separate, but it was never equal. And even now, do we own a lot of business?
No.
We don't own a lot of business. We got business, but we don't own a lot of them. We don't own a lot of big business. And those of us that have made it big trying to help their own people. They're trying to, what?
Get with the 10,000.
Right. And so if we go separate but equal, then we don't really have the infrastructure to do that. Even though, as a people, we make over $1 trillion a year. We don't spend it in our own community. We spend it in every other community. And that's a problem. If you can't build, if you got money and you're taking it to other communities, other people, and you're spending it in their community, how are you going to build wealth in your own community? Can't do it. And that therein is our problem. Okay? We go to other communities, and we spend our money in those communities. So we got to get away from that. So we have to grow our own food. We have to support what each other. So with that being said, we're after the hour. I pray that, hold on a minute. Ms. Hazel, do you have any questions on anything that we said tonight or that was discussed?
No, I enjoyed everything you said.
All right, amen. Okay, let me see if Ms. Gracia has any questions. Do you have any questions?
No, I'm sorry.
All right. All right, so we're going to go ahead and close out for this evening. May the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Fear Yah and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Can't get no clearer than that.
Amen.
Shalom, saints. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Shalom.
Shalom. Brother Miles, shalom, my sister.
Shalom, family.
Peace and blessings. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Yah bless.